Wherever you're listening us from, thank you so much for always tuning in.
And then the next one,
Friday, enjoy yourself, and of course, travel also safely.
And if somebody that thinks of course, today is that way, not on Tiro.
It's the 18th of April 2025, a Friday, and of course, this is early morning scoop, a program dedicated to you, or that will provide you with the latest update on the academic entrepreneurship and of course, public policy. And I'm your host, Alexa Shimi. Of course, I'll be with you
such
until the hour of 7:30 just to bring you the usual update. And before I get into the digital segment, please don't forget to follow or rather visit our platform,
Eagle FM Namibia.
You find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, as well as the Village Newspaper page on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And please do not forget to subscribe on our WhatsApp channel just to catch up on the news or daily news update. And of course, the WhatsApp
with the
newspaper alerts. And do not forget to download Eagle FM app. You'll find that on your Google Play Store and your App Store. And of course, do not forget to download also the Imba app. You'll find that also on your Google Play Store. And of course, your app store. And just to start off internationally, is that the South African Power Utility Eskom is under fire for keeping coal plant operational and, of course, exempt from emission rules despite the country's climate pledges. The coal fired plant are needed to ensure an adequate supply of electricity. Critics also say the stations are linked to thousands of premature deaths annually in nearby communities. We might take a listen to this update.
Brink of collapse. The Environmental Ministry made a tough decision to grant half the fleet exemptions from complying with minimum emission standards.
These exemptions are not a blanket reprieve, but are tailored to each facility with stringent conditions to mitigate the impacts of non-compliance with the MES. It provides Eskom adequate time to transition these facilities out of service responsibly, contingent on the rapid expansion of renewable energy capacity to maintain stability.
At least two stations will be allowed to flout air quality standards until they reach the end of life in 2034. The other six have 5 years to clean up their act. These are seen as necessary steps to keep the lights on in the continent's most industrialized economy, which has been battling a supply shortage for over a decade.
When we look at the energy trilemma of energy security, energy cost, and environmental impact, then security trumps all. And therefore, the need for Eskom to be able to supply in our very energy-poor environment is important. And it's necessary that those coal-fired power stations continue to run.
The reprieve brings some certainty to investors and the economy. But the communities living in the shadow of toxic structures continue to pay with their lives. Over 2,000 deaths have so far been linked to harmful gases such as carbon and sulfur dioxide spewed from these structures. And analysts predict there could be thousands more with the extension.
The parts of the emissions that worry me most are not the carbon dioxide. That's an issue. It's a global issue. We're all aware of that. What concerns me most is the pollutant aspect of the emissions. So sulfur dioxide, nitrous oxides, particulate matter, because those are the ones that directly affect communities in the fallout area of the pollution group.
It's not the first time Eskom has been let off the hook, but this time it comes with tough conditions to reduce and monitor harmful emissions and safeguard affected communities.
The health costs associated with burning coal, if we treated it properly in terms of lost productivity, health, deaths, all that kind of thing, the health costs of that are greater than the costs of producing the electricity. When you're looking to help communities, we're talking about more clinics, more screening, more doctors, more sick people.
The power utility is also required to step up efforts to accelerate the adoption of renewable energy to keep South Africa in line with its commitment to the Paris Climate Agreement to cut emissions and limit global...
All right, there you have it. Now, moving on to the next item is that the economist Lumbida has described Moody's recent upgrade of Zambia's economic outlook as essential for job creation and poverty reduction. Now, he says the upgrade is crucial for increasing foreign direct investment and, of course, enhancing access to capital markets. We might take a listen to this update.
Revised economic outlook from stable to positive by credit rating agency Moody's has cheered many stakeholders. Moody's cited debt reduction and economic growth in its review. Zanaco Chief Executive Officer Mukwandi Chibesakunda said the upgrade is crucial for increasing foreign direct investment and enhancing access to capital markets.
Issues having been addressed, debt restructure being almost concluded, and the fact that the Ministry of Finance has been acting aggressively to address all the historical issues where it comes to the economy. This means that in future, Zambia will be able to grow, the economy will be able to grow. We have addressed a lot of the historical issues, and we're now well poised and positioned for growth. And this also speaks to the earlier statements that were made by the Ministry of Finance. You may recall that last year's GDP growth, that's the gross domestic product, instead of having grown by the initially projected 1.2% per annum, we went up to 4%. That is significant because that means that the economy is actually growing year on year.
Finance Minister Stumbeko Msukotwani has given his thought on Moody's rating.
The economy has been growing. Of course, the growth of 2024 at 4% is slightly below that we saw in the 2023-2022. But nevertheless, there's been continuous growth. This is very important because to get to uplift the living standards of the people, which is what we are all working for, there is no other way of getting that to be done other than by ensuring that year after year, the country produces more and more and more. Continuous growth. We have to try and avoid what we've seen in the past. You grow for 3 years, then the economy declines for another 2 or 3 years. So it is like you saw, up and down, up and down. So this time, we are very delighted with the fact that continuously since 2021, the economy has been growing.
And Zambia Association of Manufacturers President Ashu Saga said the rating will promote economic growth.
Look, Moody's is a very significant player in how we judge a country's economic performance. And when you have a credit rating agency like that upgrading you from stable to positive, right, is very important in terms of how the rest of the world looks at Zambia, especially when it comes to the investment climate. Now, when you look at the aspect of being moved one step up, we're expecting that at least that's a signal to the investors, one, that we are going to be stable as an economy and have potential for significant growth.
And economist Luvinda Havazoka has described Moody's rating upgrade of Zambia's economic outlook as essential for job creation and poverty reduction.
This is the first kind of upgrade that we have received. So the main benefits of such, a rating, and especially coming at a time when we are coming from COVID-19, we are coming from debt restructuring, process, it gives an indicator that the debt restructuring process basically has managed to enhance investor confidence, and the ultimate indicator of the credit rating will be that we are going to see lower borrowing costs, not only by.
Right, there you have it. The time is 12 minutes in the hour of 6 o'clock, and this is early morning scoop. Now, to move on to Nigeria, is that with power cuts still a major issue across Africa, and Nigeria is seeing a boom in solar panel adoption, and the shift toward renewable is helping alleviate energy insecurity and, of course, reduce reliance on an inconvenient power grid. We might take a listen to this update.
Solar panels, like the ones on the roof of El Hadij Abdu's house, are an increasingly common sight in Niger's capital. Niamey is a city which has become all too familiar with annoying power cuts and load shedding as a government struggles to keep up with the demand. However, the problem was an opportunity for some local entrepreneurs who looked to the sky for a solution. Niger, in the heart of West Africa, is one of the world's sunniest countries after all. Hilia Hundegnon decided to get in on the solar panel business, and he's now reaping the benefits.
We are seeing a rise in the market, especially since there are power outages. It's not that it's ideal, but at least it provides consumers with a backup, so to speak, with their home installations. They are protected from power cuts and repeated outages. Because of this, we're being asked for solar panels, particularly solar batteries, especially with the innovation. There aren't many batteries stored in one room anymore. Lithium batteries alone can replace up to 10 regular batteries at once.
The energy shortages had worsened in the wake of a July 2023 coup, which saw military leaders take the reins of power. It was a move which didn't go down well around West Africa. However, with its southern neighbor, Nigeria, imposing sanctions, including cutting off electricity exports. How Amadu, Niger's energy minister, said the measure forced state-owned power company Nigelec to impose planned power cuts that often lasted several days, especially in Niamey. However, the development had an unexpected impact, it propelling the solar power sector to a new level of sophistication.
We can hold on to this just to pay the bill quickly.
Go big this Easter with extra low prices at WB. Get a 1 kg Yum Yum Peanut Spread Tub for $59.99. 1.5 kg Real Good Mixed Chicken for $74.99 with Smart Buy. 1.8 liter Farmhouse Ice Cream for a sweet $39.99. 1 kg Sunlight Hand Wash Powder for only $33.99. And 8 Twin Saver 300 Sheet 1 Ply Toilet Rolls for $34.99. See all our exciting Easter specials at furmanbrock.com. We care.
It's now not only providing energy to thousands of people, but also jobs and much-needed income for many.
The solar market has been rapidly expanding since the events of July 26th, with the disruption of electricity from Nigeria. The market is truly experiencing a significant rise. There is increasing demand, and this is also due to other factors such as the availability of qualified technicians now, as well as manufacturers who are established here with us and provide after-sales service.
Amadu says Nigeria has resumed electricity exports, but only about half of what it used to before. Because of this, the government has remained careful with supply. But it's certainly being helped by the rise in interest in solar panels, both by businesses and ordinary homeowners.
In the past, solar panels were only used by residents of areas without access to electricity. But today, even those with electricity are using them effectively, especially in cases of power cuts that can last 1, 2, or 3 hours.
Solar power cuts is also popular in remote rural areas for powering drinking water pumps. Meanwhile, international projects funded by the World Bank or Arab humanitarian organizations equip schools and hospitals to refrigerate vaccines and medicines.
All right, there you had it. Now, going to Rwanda, is that as Rwanda scaled up solar power irrigation, it is also seeking Chinese support to improve efficiency and cut emissions. Now, with agriculture responsible for 70% of the country's greenhouse gases, Chinese investors are exploring opportunities in green irrigation and, of course, farming. We might take a listen to this update.
Moving on now, as more Rwandan farmers adopt solar-powered irrigation, the country is now seeking Chinese expertise to improve water use, as well as boost crop yields and cut emissions. Agriculture contributes about 70% of Rwanda's greenhouse gas emissions. That is according to the Rwanda Environmental Management Authority. Well, now Chinese investors are in Kigali to explore green irrigation and mechanized farming opportunities. Our correspondent, Ethan Tashobia, has more.
In a world where climate change is increasingly becoming unpredictable, farmers in Rwanda are turning to solar-powered irrigation This method helps them to farm all year round. Jean Bosco Rutishisha, a retired police officer, is one of the 68 farmers in eastern Rwanda using this green irrigation. He says the technology has transformed his 6-hectare Ruhimbi farm, where he grows avocados and mangoes for export.
On the farm here, we can cultivate throughout the year, and we can have crops throughout the year. Whenever we want to plant, we can, because of the availability of water and the availability of energy that is environmental friendly. For example, you have seen the solar system that we have, which helps us to pump water uphill. So we dug that pond that you saw up down there, and also have solar panels, which can provide like 4.5 kilowatts of power.
Jean Bosco Rutishisha uses 2 dam sheets on his farm. They hold 720 cubic meters of water, fully pumped using solar power. Most of the green irrigation equipment used here is imported from China. Jerome Hitayezu, who is the head of irrigation at Rwanda Agriculture Board, says the method is efficient. He adds that Rwanda is working to attract investors to set up local production of solar-powered irrigation systems due to its positive impact on the environment.
Most of the time they are imported from China, they are imported from Europe, but most of them are imported from China and India. Yeah, we provide 75% of subsidy to cooperatives, individual farmers, and even a group of farmers. We subsidize.
Why do you do that?
We do that just to improve the technology in the country. We are at a starting point, because we intend to have 5,000 hectares irrigated in NST too.
A group of Chinese investors is currently in Rwanda to explore green irrigation and mechanized farming opportunities. One of them, Hu Xin from Ninjiang Agricultural Associates, says Rwanda's central location in Africa makes it ideal for regional supply.
The agricultural sector has introduced many investment opportunities in Rwanda, and through discussions with officials from Ministry of Agriculture, we believe that our agricultural machinery products can be covered by Rwanda to other East African countries, which is a very big market and investment opportunity.
Today.
All right. Now, to in Tanzania, is that Tanzania aims to grow its $85 billion economy to $700 billion with public-private partnerships at the center of its strategy. Now, amidst rising debt and limited growth goal financing, the government assesses public-private partnerships as key to unlock capital, upgrading infrastructure, and accelerating the industrialization. Might take a listen to this update.
From railways and roads to agribusiness and energy, Tanzania is opening the door for investors. The country is banking on public-private partnerships to drive growth and build a $700 billion economy. Experts say value addition in agricultural business and better rural infrastructure could be game changers.
When you talk about PPP and if we get people to invest in agriculture, especially when it comes to agro business, but also in irrigation, I'm telling you, maybe 80% of our issues will be addressed. But secondly, another sector is now the mining. Most of our mining are in the rural areas. So how do you transport the inputs, the machinery, but also the produce from those mining activities?
According to World Bank figures, Tanzania's economy is currently valued at $85 billion. However, under its Vision 50 plan, the government hopes that it will be $700 billion by the middle of this century. Experts say private sector partnerships could help that target be reached.
Because we constantly reinvent ourselves to stay relevant in the market, naturally the market pushes you to be that way. So these are the things which we can actually give to the government: speed, accuracy, and scale, to allow the government to be able, as I say, to focus on the costings while partnering on the business side to unlock the economy in such a way that the government now will have an opportunity to actually fix sector that actually direct touches people, health, education, agriculture, whatever they want to do.
In 2023, Tanzania amended its Public-Private Partnership Act to encourage efficiency and incentivize strategic projects. The government is currently negotiating PPP agreements with power transmission companies and for a new standard gauge railway in its central corridor. For decades, Tanzania relied on aid and debt to drive development, but now the country is shifting, betting on private capital, local innovation and strategic partnerships. Tanzania has recently signed PPP deals in hydropower and railway projects, but the race for private capital is regional, with neighboring Kenya, Uganda, and Rwanda also vying for investment. Poor contract negotiations and weak risk assessments could derail projects. Experts warn that without careful planning, PPPs may fail to deliver promised results.
At the end of the day, these projects belong to the government to service its population, right? So we need the competent people to do that. But also we need to have undertaken a very thorough financial and operational risk analysis. Yeah, to know before the game that what should we anticipate from this project and then come up with mitigating action and actions to address those issues that you may encounter.
Tanzania's $700 billion vision promises to lift millions out of poverty.
All right. Now, moving on to Zambia, is that technology and science minister says cabinet has approved the science and innovation policy. Now, he says that a science and technology act of 1996 is under review. We might take a listen to this particular update.
They are telling us that the path that we must take as a nation in celebrating young talent, in creating the future of this country, requires critical evaluation of the path that we have traveled ourselves as a country. A path we have traveled ourselves as a country that we are formatted for employment and not for creativity or enterprise. A path which will say, it doesn't matter whether there's sunscreen made by who, I'm going to make that sunscreen myself to solve a problem.
The Zambia Academy of Sciences is here to support the aspirations of government. So we are asking to support us, and we will not disappoint you, Honorable Minister. Honorable Minister, science is the correctly positioned mother of STEM. Science is correctly stand, positioned mother of STEM. What do you mean? STEM, as you all know, is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We should not, as a country, abandon science in preference for the young, beautiful, and attractive daughter called technology.
All right, staying in Zambia again, is that the former Bank of Zambia governor, Governor Jacob Mwanza, has commended government for 4% gross domestic product GDP growth in 2024, despite the drought that have affected at key sectors of the economy. Now, Mwanza says the growth rate is miraculous considering the extent of the drought experience last year, which affected the energy sector and flood. We might take a listen to this update, whereby he said also further praise government for narrowing the budget deficit and increasing the reserves.
Town hall meeting held on quarter one budget and economic performance 2025 in Lusaka. Various stakeholders and industry experts participated by asking questions at the interactive event, which also hosted a panel discussion. Former Bank of Zambia Governor Jacob Mwanza commended government for the 4% gross domestic product GDP growth in 2024, despite the drought that affected key sectors of the economy.
I think 2024 had such headwinds, in fact I shouldn't say heavy winds, I should say, storms, those heavy storms, if you have such impact of drought, which impacted on energy, impacted on food, and miraculously you are able to produce 4% GDP growth, I think they deserve very special congratulations for this.
Meanwhile, Finance and National Planning Minister Stombeko Msokotwane said 1,000 megawatts of energy is expected to be added by December 2025.
This is not done by accident. This is done through deliberate policy reforms to allow the private sector to be able to put investments, because the private sector is a business.
All right, there you have it, listeners. The time is 29 minutes in the after 6 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. We can take a listen to a very short commercial break. Then once we return, we'll take a listen to what is happening within the country. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low, because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna I Matina Omjo. Chikao Shafasana Nana Longishi Fa Yai Shuike Moshiwana. Iya Moyawo Otaingo Samweni. Anagashi Fa Yanamibia Ombitombwa Nawa Orangika. Seithanina Omayaguro Nirandi Toma Iye Yongeshi Fa Yoyo Kupipira Mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe 20 time meha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki wimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo lengira selma kodara hita tuimu. Datunda tu heari hamanon tano o ambiyaj. Eagle FM, go high.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludwitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Onthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja.
All right, welcome back. The time is 31 minutes in the hour of 6 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. Thank you so much for joining us once more. And if you just joined us right now, thank you so much, and a very, very good morning to you, dear listeners. Now, to move on, rather to start off locally, is that we want to start with one of the lead story in our newspaper today. Please do not forget to rather subscribe to the WhatsApp channel so that you can at least be getting the newspaper every day it's released. That's now Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Now, to start off, is that for the first 2 months of 2025, the Rakana Hydropower Station has generated 84% of the country's electricity, now reducing the country's power imports to around 40%, which is contrasting to usually picture experience in the year. Now, this is according to the Electricity Central report for January and February 2025. Now, as the rain situation improved in the northern Namibia together with the southern Angola, so does the power generation improve in Namibia, the statistics shows. Now, the domestic power generation situation was there from just from June 2024 to November 2024, with local power sources contributing less than 35% of the country's power needs, focusing the countries to import, or rather forcing the countries to import more than 210,000 megawatts of power every month from June 2024 to November 2024. Now, also adding on that is that the situation started to improve in December 2024 when southern Angola started receiving more rain, improving the flow in the Cunene River, which feeds the Rakana Hydropower Station. Now, in December 2024, Rakana Hydropower produced 82.7%, that is now translate to 214,507 megawatts of the country's total generated electricity, to now, 259,295 megawatts. Now, as the rain kept getting better in southern Angola, the generation kept improving. Thus, in January 2024, the own generation contributed 60.9%. That translates to 288,909 megawatts of the total electricity demand. Now, while imports made up the remaining 39%, now that translates to 185,642 megawatts. That was the one that is, well, that was imported. Now, a similar pattern was observed in January 2024 with own generation again dominating this share of electricity demand. Now, out of the total electricity generated locally, megawatts. Now, Rakana Power Station was the largest contributor, according to the accounting for 85.1%. And now they were followed by independent power producers, that is now IAPP, with 12.3%. That translates to 35,550 megawatts. Now, Omburu PV solar station contributed 2%, and while that's now the 5,910 megawatts of the total local electricity production. Now, in addition, Anihas Power Station ranked fourth with a contribution of 0.4%. That translates to 1,249 megawatts, while Aven Ek Power Station ranked fifth with 0.2%. That's translated to 438 megawatts contribution to the total electricity generated locally. Now, the energy gap of 185.85 megawatts is that too, or that's now the 39.1%. In January 2025, a total electricity was imported mostly from the southern neighbor. Now, the South Africa was also the largest supplier of electricity, supplying 49.2% of the total electricity imports, followed by Zambia with 33.4%, and Zimbabwe with 11.3%. Now, also Eskom Orange River and the day ahead marked ranked fourth and fifth by contributing 5.7% and 0.3% respectively. Now, in February 2025, Rakana Hydropower Station will continue to reduce dependence on imports. Now, domestically, 251,954 megawatts was generated. Now, Rakana Hydropower Station was the largest producer, accounting for 84.3%. Followed by the IPP with 11.4%, that translates to 28,637 megawatts. Now, while the Anihas 2 diesel power station contributed 1.9%, that is now 4,913 megawatts of the total local electricity production. In addition, Omburu PV solar power station ranked fourth with a contribution of 1.8%, of that translate to 4,000 4,470 megawatts, and Annie has one diesel power station ranked fifth with 0.6%. That is now 1,554 megawatts. Now, for February 2025, the 40.5% energy gap. The country sourced the remaining from the neighbors, as it had been South Africa. It had been so like that. So South Africa dominated the import, supplying a 54.6% share of the total electricity imports, followed by Zambia with 36.7% and Zimbabwe with 13.1%. Now, Eskom Orange River ranked fourth with a contribution of 5.7%. Now, the country renewable sector is under development with wind and biomass untapped. However, solar energy has been also receiving investment with various projects expected to come online. That was our first update from the local side. Now, to move on to the next item, is that over 1,000 households connected in Rundu are prepared water meter rollout. The first phase of the prepared water meter rollout in Rundu has successfully connected over 1,000 households, with ongoing installations taking place in the to Tungeni area. Now, Francina Kamumbwena, the acting CEO of Rundu Town Council, announced this during an installation event held yesterday into Tungeni. Now, the project, which was also officially launched on February the 7th, has received an investment of 6.9 million Namibian dollars for its implementation. You might take a listen to what the CEO has to say more on this.
Is investing around about $6.9 million in this project. You can imagine how expensive it is. However, the results we believe will yield us success stories. The process of rolling over this prepaid meter system started on the 7th of February this year, 2025. And it is still ongoing. We are in phase one of the process. We started in Safari. We are done with Safari. We've moved to Nkarapama location. And now we are here in Tutungeni as we continue rolling out this program. So far, about 1,021 houses have been connected, with 438 in Safari, 196 in Karapamwe, and about 387 in Tutungeni, and we are still continuing. The main aim is to roll out this prepaid meter system in all parts of our town. We can appreciate the exponential growth that we are experiencing in our town, and the demand for water services within our town. Hence, we need to move with this development. We need to get to everywhere where an inhabitant of this town lives for us to install this. And as I indicated, we are doing this in phases, and this is the first phase. What we are saying now with this program is that it is compulsory. It is not optional. We are installing from every household. We are installing at every business and industrial premises. So we do not have any choice. As council, we are really committed and want to ensure that every property is installed with a prepaid meter system. The installation is free, and we are installing 1 meter the property, and with one card. We have a team from our offices here. If we would encounter or would want to find out more information with regards to this system, we are full house here. We can entertain questions as to how this whole system is working. Unfortunately, or fortunately, we are not connecting disconnected properties. For the disconnected properties, unless an arrangement is made, that individual or property owner needs to come into our offices and apply for a reconnection with a 30% payment on the outstanding debt plus a $600 Namibian for reconnection. And that is very, very important.
All right. Of course, she further also explained all the charges. Now we might take a listen to what she has to say in that regard.
Tariff breakdown. As we started implement this project, we also said, how will we go about the cost involved or the tariff per cubic for this water that our communities are going to consume? And we have, council has decided to say for pensioners, it will cost them $16 Namibian per cubic for their water consumption. General residential, the tariff there is $18.64 per cubic. Non-domestic, $24.97 per cubic. Business servants, $30 per cubic, and government institutions, $34.72 per cubic. That's the current tariff that we are using for these charges. We've also made arrangement in terms of a payment to enable our inhabitants to ensure that when they run out of water, they need to at least get to our offices before we close for them to procure units for their consumption. For now, as we indicated that this is the first phase that we are rolling out, we are only receiving funds at the main office from Monday to Friday, 8 o'clock to 1600 hours in the afternoon. And then we've also made provision that over the weekends on Saturdays, from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock noon. With these arrangements, we do know that when we look at our municipal bills, there are other charges that we receive as inhabitants of the town. We receive charges regarding rates and taxes, basic water, refuse, sewage, fire levies. We see those. But how are we incorporating them then in this arrangement? That is also compulsory arrangement. When you come and pay or when you come and buy your water for consumption, if you have any outstanding debt, then this will also be, you will need to pay for them before you have water units for consumption. However, as we indicated that there are those inhabitants that has debts with council, we've also made arrangement and we do understand the financial situation that we find ourselves today. What we have done is we have made a 70-30 ratio repayment plan. If you have an account that is in arrear, when you go and buy your water units, 30% of purchase will go to your outstanding debt and then 70% will go for your consumption. In conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, with this system, we have no doubt that we will all be happy as inhabitants of the.
All right, there you have it. The time is 47 minutes in the hour of 6 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. Now, on the next item is that the Kavango West region is among the beneficiaries of the $56 million allocated by the Central Emergency Response Fund to address drought-related challenges in the area. Now, this funding is aimed at complementing the government's efforts to respond to the drought. Now, the UN agencies also involved in this project, including the UNICEF and the UN FBA and WFP, now focusing on the area with the greatest needs. Now, according to the Hopolange Fororo, the United Nations Representative Coordinator, the key collaboration partners are committed to addressing the child nutrition, immunization and water sanitation. Now, this include a borehole project aimed at tackling gender-based violence and providing productive health services in collaboration with the local police unit. Now, this outreach, which kicked off on Tuesday, will highlight the importance of integrated health services, especially for women dealing with domestic violence and unwanted pregnancies. Now, Fororo noted that the outreach will run for 6 months. It was initiated in December, and UN head of agencies also are visiting the region to assess the situation on the ground. A hungry house is often more suspicious to gender-based violence, as she stated. Now, victims of GBV need protection and also support the GBV shelter in Kurankuru, not only with the kitchen appliance, but also the necessary also services. Now, that's what she said. Now, also, we provide psychological support and sexual productive health services to affected individuals. Now, ensuring that women and children also who visit the GBV protection unit feel comfortable. That's what Fororo explained. Now, the UNICEF has also outreach a program that screen thousands of children under the age of 5 for various health conditions, now including malnutrition, and during a recent visit to Mopini, two households were also identified with children suffering from the malnutrition. Now, the agency also verified whether the children's vaccinations are up to date and if they possess the necessary also nation documents to assess social services. That's what she said. Now, our initial target was also to reach about 21,000 children under 5, but thanks to the diligence of the Ministry of Health, we have successfully reached over 28,000 children, as well as the pregnant mothers. Now, health mothers are crucial for ensuring the health of their children. That's what Fororo highlighted. Now, once UNICEF identified several malnutrition children, they hospitalized and also treated. Now, afterward, they are referred to a local soup kitchen operated by the World Food Program, which also catered to over 170 children aged 60 months to 9 years, operating three times a week. Now, the kitchen also serves vulnerable children who cannot have 3 meals a day at home. That's what Fororo also said. Now, on that, Kapuko constituency governor, Johannes Karondo, commanded the collaboration, noting that many households have benefited since the initiative began, resulting in significant improvement. Now, many single mothers who were previously caring for more than 13 children in their household are now able to provide 2 meals a day. That's what he marked. Now, we might take a listen to the next item, dear listeners. All right, on our next item, we want to dive into the Easter weekend. I mean, as we're approaching the Easter weekend, many people will be traveling to other places. And we expect an increase in traffic as travelers also head to various destinations. And we are now here with the Commissioner Nafta Lunga, Minister of the Oshana Region, just to discuss some safety measures to consider for this beautiful Easter weekend. A very good morning to you, Commissioner, and welcome to the Early Morning Scoop.
Yep. Good morning. How are you today?
We're doing great.
We thank God.
Yes. Yeah. Just to begin, how prepared are you and your team just to ensure that everyone's safety this weekend?
All right. Thank you indeed for connecting us with the public. Mm-hmm. So we share our activities and plans and so on. Mm-hmm. Today, we have indeed launched our operation This is Operation New Era. Okay. It is a national operation, and in Oshana, we have kicked off, and we have a plan in place where our troops are on the ground. In fact, the objective of this operation is simply to mitigate crime threats, to intercept and disrupt criminal syndicates, and also to prevent road crashes.
Okay.
So it is very, very important to note that, as you can imagine, we are already in a school midterm break. On top of that, we are beginning with the long weekend, the Easter weekend. So we expect the usual movements of people and vehicular, so to and from our region. So we are preparing, and our traffic law enforcement is capacitated. They will be on the ground.
Okay.
If I tell you now, the past 3 weekends, we have recorded a record of around 50 drink and driving cases.
Okay.
This is way too high, and we want the road users to be careful about this, because this is really the reason for accidents, mostly. Driving while intoxicated, we know what alcohol does to one's sense. It impairs your level of thinking and judgment.
Yeah.
So we are going to be very serious about this, and also other issues such as the seat belts and the speed, especially. People must plan their journey in advance, not to avoid have to rush to get there. And it might result in catastrophic consequences.
And again, Commissioner, what safety measures should people keep in mind during this Easter season?
Yes, as always, we're saying we people come and they will be flocking to shopping centers, and the parking at maybe places that are not, they do not have car guards. So it is the duty of the driver, number one, make sure that your vehicle is locked.
Okay.
Not just by pressing the mobilizer, but to physically check, pull the handle to see that your car is locked after you press the mobilizer.
Mm.
Because we already know that there are these people that try to jam your, when you're locking mechanism with remotes. So that is one. And number two, avoid talking to strangers trying to disrupt you or distract you while you are talking to one here, the other one is on the other side trying to maybe get a bag or something from your vehicle.
Okay.
And also avoid leaving valuable items in the vehicle. People look through the windows and they see laptops and bags and stuff that may attract them to break your vehicle and so on.
And again, what we want to know, like last year, how did maybe the Easter weekend make out in terms of accidents and crimes? And maybe if available, could you share maybe any of statistics that you have there?
Yeah, not immediately available.
Okay.
But what we can say is that if in comparison to 2023-2024, we have seen a decrease in reported crime. So during festive season, during bigger holidays and like this one, we have it on record that the incident of crime is there is a constant steady decline in terms of reported crime. And at the same time, we have an increase in police detected crimes. So, which is a good thing. I was doing my performance appraisal now. I see we are doing well with a 15% decrease in reported crime, while we have an increase in police generated crime. That means that when the police go out and find the drugs, then they arrest the drink and drivers. They find all these hidden crimes, smuggling of fuel and all these other things, contrabands.
Mm.
So that is what you call police generated.
Okay.
Because these things will not report itself. The police has to go and find it.
Mm.
So you want the police to find more of that.
Mm.
So the increase is good. But you don't want many reported crimes at the stations.
Okay.
You want that to go down. So we are already doing well in terms of what is increasing and what is decreasing.
Mm.
But of course, there is always room for improvement.
Okay.
And given the resources at hand, we are going to push to make sure that we get the best out of it. Look, the problematic ones that always gives me headache is issues such as housebreaking.
Mm.
But also rape. You know, yesterday we received 3 cases. On average, maybe we have 4 or 5 cases per week of rape. You know, it's very bad. And the majority of these cases are minors.
Okay.
Children, 11, 16, 14, 15, 12.
Mm.
It is very traumatizing. But that is somehow refused to decrease or to go down. And then the scrapping of cell phones and stuff when people moving around. Some people move around alone in bed areas. We are saying or at night during late hours. Also for us not to fall victim. You have to be aware of your surrounding, where you are going, or which area you, if you're on foot, what route are you using, what is the time, I met a young lady when we were patrolling over the weekend, is alone, around 2 in the morning, on a cell phone, talking on a cell phone, with a backpack in an area that is really just dark.
Mm.
So one wonder now, you see, and tomorrow you have a situation. So it's also up to us to, as individuals, to take care of our safety or as a priority. The police can augment that, but it should not just be left alone to the police. It's a shared responsibility in terms of self-awareness, in terms of reporting the crime which you observe. And we are saying you will be protected. We are not going to be announcing on the radio and say, yeah, Lisa is the one who told us that this is what's going to happen. No, you are protected. And we are saying you can even call directly to the regional commander if you have something that you want to share with regards to issues of crime.
All right.
So at the same time, I wanted to quickly just touch on the issue of extortion because we also... we were extended in Etosha, Shoshana region. I'm still the gold commander of it. Maybe this is because of the work we did during the previous phase. The last 6 months, we were able to reduce the incidents from, I think, 30 to, from the previous phase to 8.
Okay.
Incident of poaching.
Mm.
And this phase, we are already on our 2nd month and we do not yet have any single incident. But this can be attributed to the work that was done, really, and the strategy that we are using to coordinate with other stakeholders, to coordinate intelligence with other regions. And as a result, these people are coming in the country, the tourists, from the visa application to sleeping accommodation and renting vehicles. It's a trail of money that is really good for the economy of the country.
Mm.
So we are going to continue protecting our national parks as we are mandated to do.
Mm. Thank you so much, Commissioner, for having you.
You are welcome.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, while on that, we also spoke to a spokesperson from the NVA Fund who shared safety tips for the road users this Easter weekend.
We are facing the Good Friday. Mm-hmm. It will run up to Tuesday.
Yeah.
And we will also have the tournaments, the sports during over that time. And we will also have the people traveling from different parts of this country.
Definitely.
Now that we are on air, we really encourage everybody and every person to adhere to the road traffic rules because we are already having a quantum that has hit somebody on or Tavi or Chuarongos Road, the person passed on, and then we have also the quantum that over 10s also, we don't have the quantity of people who were injured there because the ambulances took them to the hospitals. And we have also, early this morning, that four trucks is involved and the two people died. So we wish that should be the last accident toward the Easter weekend. And I'm happy that most of the country people, the men and the women in the country, they are also taking share on road accidents. Road safety.
Yeah.
Yesterday we had village meeting at Korogo, including a lot of villages around that area where a lot of cattle and donkeys. So I said we have countrymen and women that are responsible also for road safety. Yesterday we had a meeting at Korogo village where all the villages surrounding that village came together because we have been receiving reports from that area that the people are bumping or maybe overrunning animals that area. But then people, they decided to come together so that they could discuss the animal to be corrected during the evening time. So there are only few things that can happen. If you overrun the animals, you can be injured, you can die, and the cat can also be injured or maybe damaged. So we wish that can happen to each and every village in the northern side, that people should protect their animals during the evening. So we wish that we are saying road safety is a shared responsibility and everybody should take responsibility. So today when I come to work, during the morning people threw red robots and that can be addict somebody. If you used to get pass through red robots, one day you will be injured or maybe you will be killed. So we should refrain from that behavior.
Okay.
I wish this accident that happened should be the last, because we want to, when we will be beyond the Easter weekend, no death, no injury. If maybe there will be injury, should be a slight injury. But we are dying, mostly young people, they are being called by other young people also to go and enjoy, and people are driving fast, and the highest speed in our public road is 120, in town is 60, so we don't need, there is no need for you to be fast. Because if you be fast, you be fast for everything and you will go first before everybody on this earth.
What are maybe some safety measures that you would also like to share with during this Easter season?
Okay, basically, well, let's start from the pedestrian.
Okay.
I would like to wish everybody, when you are coming to cross to the road, first before you cross, you come and stand and you should be completely standing. And you watch at your right side, your left side, and the right again. If there is no a car coming, then you could cross. But if there is a car coming, stop there and restart again. You watch from the right and left and right. If there is no a car coming, you should always cross. But you know the problem we are having now, like young ones, they are having these earphones and earpads. They are crossing with those ones. And sometimes some people use the umbrellas also. Maybe the weather is hot or maybe it's raining. The person is just on the umbrella. So we should always be careful. And when you are crossing at the pedestrian crossing or maybe at the T junction or whatsoever, you should always be all vigilant and watch out, because you know we are still being arrested while they're under the. So they can pick you up, they can hit you, you can die, and the industry must be vigilant. Your safety comes first. And there is no short way, there is no short, a long process. When you are in the car, on the safety belt all the time. Because when you are driving, you are in the car which is driving at 120 kilometers per hour.
Mm-hmm.
Your body within that car is driving at the same speed. And if you are not in a safety belt, you are at risk. You are at a very high risk. Some people, they are even loaded together with the metals, the zincs and everything. Dangerous weapons. Sometimes they are even loaded with donkeys in the cars.
Mm.
It's very dangerous. You cannot be loaded together with animals.
Okay.
So you must be always think about your safety. If the car is overloaded, please don't overload yourself. Don't go in there. Wait for the second car to come so that you can occupy the second vehicle. It's very dangerous. So, and when, you know, people are doing things. You know, when you coming to the drivers now.
Yeah.
We are on the middle break of the school now.
Mm-hmm.
It's good that you are in the middle break. But in future, if you are driving toward a certain school, please reduce your speed. If you are driving at the shebeens that are putting the road between, please reduce. If you are driving at the place where there is a pedestrian crossing, reduce so that you can avoid injury and also death. So people should just put everything. The mindset of the people should be changed so that we can save lives and protect ourselves and other road users.
And lastly, Mr. Itumpa, maybe for last year, how did maybe Easter weekend make out in terms of accidents? And of course, maybe if available, could you share maybe any statistics that you have there?
Currently, I don't have the accurate statistics to going on the Good Friday tomorrow.
Yeah,
we have already accident that reported, but by this time last year, we had a lot. But if we are not careful, we can go beyond that because it's only our behaviors that can matter. Because if we count those accidents and we will continue doing accidents, that's a problem. So we really want to count zero accidents over the past weekend. So that everybody can be safe. I used to say if the country is having living support for people on wheelchair and so forth, it's not something good because the economy will be reduced. Yeah, so we should just do what's right to save life and protect ourselves and other road users.
Thank you so much, Mr. Itumba, for having you.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
All right. It's 10 minutes in the after 7 o'clock, and this is early morning scoop. We can go into a very short commercial break, and once we return, we will have to give you more of the local updates.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha with the Kirokabuna e Matina Omjo. Chikao Shafa Sanana Longishifa Yai Shuike Moshiwana. Iyo Moyawo Otaingo Gotisamweni. Anageshifa Iya Namibia Ombitombwa Nawa Orangika. Seita Nina Omayaguro Nirandipomwa Iyoe Yongeshifa Yoyo Kupikira Mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe tuende tuimeneha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo lengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oandiyaji. Eagle FM. Go high.
Right, welcome back. And of course, to move on is that railway connections play a crucial role in the development of many advanced countries. Now, however, the current state of the Namibian railway and train transportation seems to offer limited benefits for individuals and, of course, small businesses. Now, to explore this topic further, my colleague David Shombe spoke to Lasa Vatilifa, a technician in the railway industry. We might take a listen to their discussion further.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at the transport sector. We are looking at Namibia industrialization. And it was indicated that Trans-Namibia Eastern Institution has different challenges, particularly to upgrade, you know, Namibia transportation sector in area of railway transportation, passenger transportation. However, let us look at the capacity and ability of Namibian engineers and technicians when it's coming to upgrading of the railway system and what they can do to assist us in this area. Yes, joining us this morning in the studio is Raza Vatirifa. He's one of the technicians within the sector of railway. And just to unpack to us, particularly when it's coming to capacity and also, you know, training of the Namibian technician in that area. Raza, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Yes, good morning, Mr. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Now, let us start with it. You know, there are conversation on reviving the railway transportation in the country with, you know, private investor also willing to come on board to develop the railway infrastructure. Now, as a technician in the railway sector, how is the capacity with, you know, with the modern technology? Are you able to transition and provide the needed technical capacity in the railway sector as we are speaking now?
Currently, you see the principle of operation of a locomotive, as they say, is the same. But as time goes on, the technology advances, you know.
Yeah.
So you need to be updated to modern technology. But that doesn't take you years to study. Just you know, skill upgrade takes just a month or two or three for you to get to that current level where people are currently operating it. So now we are ready. The country, as the technicians, we are capable. We are capable, even though we are not so a lot.
Yeah,
other than number.
Yeah,
but we are capable if we are given skill upgrading with, because our training is more, it's like a little bit old school, but we can work on the machinery.
Okay, now, you know, there is a saying, or it's a fact to say, you know, Namibian vocational centers are not yet, you know, training, you know, technicians and also artisan, regarding, you know, railway, space. Now, because I understand that, you know, some of these technicians, they got skills through upgrading, as you have said. What is your advice to vocational training center, particularly when you want to upgrade, you know, Namibia railway system in terms of education?
Yes. Currently, I see we are lagging when it comes to training the personnel into this industry.
Yeah.
We need advance. We need to advance our training regarding this.
Yeah.
Also, our vocational schools.
Yeah.
They do not have the means and the capacity to train. Like I personally, I was trained by Trans-Namib. Yes, they have what we call an apprentice school just beside the workshop.
Uh-huh.
So after in the morning time, you are being trained probably for 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
Then in the afternoon, you go to do the practical in the workshop. So this kind of training can be done here on the workshop ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we really need I have heard in the red newspapers recently, the government is trying to advance or equip the vocational schools.
Yeah.
I really suggest they do that, but they mustn't just do it. They mustn't just do it. They mustn't just add to what is already there. They must advance, like put it to the standard where we are currently operating, or other countries are currently operating. Like the locomotives we are currently, the locomotives that I trained on, they are, some are 50, some are 40 years.
Yeah.
Even though the technology is just movement in technology, I mean, advancing in technology, but the same principle of operation is still remains the same.
Yes, so you say principle of operation is still remaining the same. No, that is a good thing to say. Now, let us look, you know, people are talking about bullet trains or this fast train that are in China and also some are in South Africa. Now, in terms of now transporting people, do we have people like in your industry who are ready to transform or who are ready to move to a next sector, which is using of you know, modern trains? Because when I look at you know, Trans Namibia and other trains that we say in Namibia, they are a bit old as it has been articulated. But in terms of now upgrading to a next level, are we ready for that phase?
Are you asking in regards to the infrastructure or the personnel?
No, personnel.
Oh, personnel, because you see, the bullet train is pure electrical.
Yeah.
This diesel electrical. Locomotives that we are currently using.
Yeah.
So there is no much of a difference between an electrical operating machine and the diesel operating machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because the bullet trains, I mean, those ones, the electrical trains are tapping straight from the national grid or the electricity which is already there. But this one, the generator is directly mounted on the engine to produce electricity for it to move the locomotive.
Oh.
So there is no much of a difference.
Yeah.
So if there is investors or the government is willing to invest in that,
yeah,
it can be able to. The technicians can be able to, with the assistance of a little bit of training.
Yeah.
I think they will be able to work on this.
Yes,
because we have when I qualified, that was 3 years back, 4 years back.
Yeah,
and we were seven of us. Young and energetic, able to work,
yeah,
and able to advance also.
Yeah.
So, and after me, there were also some that have qualified also. So, probably in numbers, if I may say, is 27 newly qualified JVD in the past 4 years. These electricity that are qualified. Plus the ones that are already in the industry.
Yeah.
We have the capacity, I mean, the personnel, yeah, but we still need more.
Uh-huh. Yes, yeah. Thank you very much, Laza Vatrifa, for joining us this morning. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, the time is 21 minutes in the off 7 o'clock and you are listening to the Early Morning Scoop. Now to move on to the next item, you heard it from the Laza, the technician, whereby he emphasized that the government should really do something, especially on the vocational training, because looking at it now, he said that there is no really capacity, even though people would want to do more, the capacity is not really there, as he mentioned that he was trained by the Trust Namibia, So now maybe additionally, my colleague also spoke to Ismail Safanya, final year civil engineering student at NAST, who discussed the civil engineering structures and new developments in the railway system. We might take a listen to what he said more on this.
Dear listeners, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at economic development. We are also trying to understand the transportation sector. As it was indicated that most of the advanced countries in the world, transport connectivity, particularly railway connectivity, is at the center of development. However, these days we are analyzing the capacity of Transnamib and the ability of transportation in terms of using railway industry, in terms of also transporting people. However, today we got into the conversation with one of the engineering students, several engineering students, Ismail Zefania, just to engage us on the sector of railway system and to give us his understanding when it's coming to civil engineering in Namibia, particularly in development or in the railway sector. Ismail, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, David, and thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you very much for joining us too. Let us start with it. As a civil engineering student in the transportation sector, in your view, how equipped are our technicians and also engineers in maintaining, fixing of railways, and also advancing Namibia train system through your experience in the classroom and also outside in the field?
Yeah, I think the most important thing to note is that our railway system is very much outdated, very much behind compared to other countries, and there are definitely things we have to do. And from the outside looking in, one thing I've noticed is that we have to get between that to choose our technicians as these at the tank numbers, so that's definitely something we have to do.
Yeah.
So perhaps exposing them to advanced technology to try and fill that gap, I think that's a good way to start in regards to like improving the industry.
Now, let us look at development, particularly in the engineering sector. Do we have new development in railway system in terms of advancement in technology? And you guys in academia, the people that we need to ask this, particularly when it's coming to advancing our railway system?
Yeah. If you look at it like on an international basis, China, for instance, they are very much advanced.
Yeah.
I feel like we can use them as a litmus test to sort of like catch up.
Yeah.
However, Namibia still remains very much behind. But I believe we will catch up, but we have to look at core issues, what's holding us back. The main thing I mentioned was that our technicians are not really at that level. So we have to push for them to get the expertise they need so we can look at our vocational training. At NAF currently, we do have modules that deal with the railway industry, but it's surface level stuff. So if you can have things that are really technical and go into the nitty and gritty, I feel like we'll definitely be able to move in a direction that's going to give us a positive outcome.
Yes, Ismail, while we are there, let me ask you about the context of what you are learning at school currently. Are you guys trained in terms of smart railways and also operating smart, trains?
Okay. In terms of being a civil engineering student, we look mostly at the infrastructure. This is the railways where the freight is going to run on. Those are mostly the things we look at. I'm not so sure that in Namibia we look at the development of the cargo, but in terms of the infrastructure, when it comes to the development of that, we definitely look at that. So it's something that's there, but it's still very much surface level, as I mentioned. So I feel universities need policy and maybe some training. We can definitely still the gap.
Yeah. Now let us look at the areas of transportation of people, because civil engineering, you guys are dealing with structure, you are dealing with transportation structure. In terms of Namibia railway system, because we have heard that, Transnamib stopped transporting people as passengers, what do you think needs to be done in order to make sure that, we advance our railway system and we also incorporate transportation of, people from town to town, so commuters, for example?
Yeah, I think that's a very, very good question, David. I think in regards to that, we definitely need to look at public-private partnerships, trying to involve the private sector. And perhaps I think through this we'll be able to definitely come up with solutions. Because there is a huge gap in terms of transport when it comes to Namibia. Say, for instance, we live in Rehoboth,
you commute to Windhoek. It's really a hassle really to take use the car every day. So it's definitely a market thing, and I feel like it is involved the private sector there, because the government cannot do it on its own.
Yeah.
And Transnavi cannot be the only one doing it. But I feel like involving them will definitely help us cater for some of these issues.
Mm-hmm. Yes, maybe just your final word regarding railway system and also development of the sector, because that is where the country is trying to look at, and we are also trying to make sure that we are improving that area. What is your final words regarding to that?
My final words would be that I know Transnavi currently they are having their development plans. I remember they were given a certain amount of money. I don't want to really go into that, but they do have a plan. I think they have identified that they get the facing, and I definitely believe that we overcome. So I believe we proper plan, proper training, and really involving everyone in this. We can definitely look forward and look tomorrow, hoping things having improved in a way. Yeah, I think the future definitely looks like everything.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ismail. Thank you very much for your input.
Thank you very much for having me once again.
All right.
All right, there you have it, dear listeners. That was Ismail, also an engineer, or rather doing an engineering in that specific industry. I mean, you have it, and of course the time is 29 minutes in the hour, 7 o'clock, and it was Early Morning Scoop. Thank you so much for joining us today. And before I give the floor to Nina Menwa to take us through the unpacking of the day today, please do not forget to follow us on our social media platform, Eagle FM Namibia. Find us also on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and of course Facebook, and also do not forget to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel. Yeah, and so sorry for that, beloved. And of course, from me, Lois Shimi, it's a good day. I'll be heading over to my colleague, Angina Menwa, and I'll take you through the unpacking of the day.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Selfwar Tiara, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-0683. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Omutiha wutekiro kabuna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longi shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongo tisamweni. Ana geshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandi toma yoye yongeshifa yoye kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende kuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashifareki uimopo yomoe programa detu. Moambo lengira selma. Onara heka kimu. Datunda tu, hea di hamano talo, owa miyaji. Igele FM, for us.